So I went to the Bible, and the title I made here, Dark Nights of the Soul. Well, I've visited some people in the last 2 or 3 weeks that are having some dark nights of their soul. If you haven't had any dark nights of your soul, let me assure you what the Bible says, you will. Well, isn't that encouraging? Preacher, you got any more encouraging notes like that? But it is the truth. Some dark nights is ahead of you. But if you remember, a lot of you can remember when we used to have cameras, and you took pictures on these cameras and you sent them off, and they put them, developed them in a dark room. You have negatives, and they developed the pictures in dark room. No matter how beautiful the picture you took, whether for the person or a beautiful sunset or the mountains or whatever it was, it had to go through a dark room before you could see the beauty. We are the same way. We'll have to go through some darkness before we can really understand and see the beauty that God wants us to see. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. As I read 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, Paul speaking, and then the Spirit sent me to Isaiah for the commentary on what Paul was talking about many years before Paul was even in the world. 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking about, and he had troubles more than anybody probably had. But it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was in the will of God. Commentary on that, Isaiah 50 and 10 helped me understand those verses of scriptures. And it says, who is among you that fear the Lord and obey the voice of the servant? Now he's talking about someone who's saved just like Paul, in the will of God, just like you tonight, obeying the will of God. Here's the voice of God. But he says, the voice of the servant that walketh in darkness, but darkness has come, and have no light. Let him trust, here's the answer, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and in the sparks that you have kindled, here's what will happen. This shall ye have of mine in hand, ye shall lay down in sorrow. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the word of God, and God, we know that in this life, no one has to tell us that there are going to be some suffering, already have been, will be more, trials, tribulation, sickness, death, come to mankind, because we're living in a fallen, sin-sick world. But God's people, even though they do everything they can and live right, they still must go through the darkness. But Father, we just pray you might help us understand whenever we see those dark nights, we can grasp the word and the promise of God. And Father, we pray for this subject, Lord, to be spread out upon all the members and for people, the ones here tonight, to encourage someone by what the Spirit of God and the Word of God says to you tonight. And we thank you and pray again for those that send trials and sickness on our prayer list and darkness and difficulties. Father, that your name might be glorified even in the time of their sickness and sorrow. In the name of Jesus, amen. Pain, problems, suffering, and darkness. And when we pray about this, there's three ways that we can pray. That maybe God will give me a way to escape this problem and this pain and these difficulties and trials. God, I'm just looking for a way to escape. That is normal. I'm going to tell you, when you get to hurting, what you going to do? I'm going to pray for God to remove that pain. You know, but that's the way the doctors in the drugstore stays in business, is it not? But the first thing I want to do is pray to God to remove them pain. That's normal. And then if I find out that I got to go through it, just God give me the strength to endure whatever I got to go through. Surgery. You need to go through it that I can endure it. Knee surgery. You know, kidney stones. So many things that we've had here tonight. Give me the strength to endure the pain. That's natural and that's normal. Knowing that you can't escape it, that's what we're going to pray for, to endure the pain, maybe to lift the pain. And the third thing we pray, like old Paul did, to enlist our pain and our problems and our trials and difficulties for our good in God's glory. And that's what Paul said in that verse 9 that I read. My grace is sufficient for thee. He didn't remove those thorns in his side. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He was praying to enlist the problem for his good. Did he know that it was good? And also for God's glory. Now, that's a little harder to do. Now, first thing I'm going to pray for is for that pain, to escape that pain. And then see, if it won't escape, then the natural next thing I want to do, I want to endure it. Lord, help me to endure that pain. But I ain't too many times I've prayed to enlist that pain for my good and for the glory of God. That's what Paul done. Now, if we pray to escape our pain, then we see our pain as an enemy. If we pray to escape our pain, we see our pain as an enemy. A lot of times people think the devil brought it on, but that's not necessarily true. Or we pray to endure our pain, we see pain as our master to control us. But if we pray to enlist our pain, our problems, our difficulties, our trials, then we can see our trials, our difficulties, our pain as a servant. Now that's what God wants us to do. Say it'd be easy? No, but he's going to tell us how in these verses of scriptures. As Paul, he knew how to do that. He had been through a lot of things. But he said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is great. And then we find out that someone, as old Paul was, walking with the Lord in Isaiah 50 and 10, walking with the Lord. I mean in the will of the Lord. But that yet things still happen to us. Did y'all know that? See, if we enlisted our troubles and sorrow and suffering, you see, we move then from in bondage to liberty and then to hope, as old Paul did. And then to the blessings. And this truth to encourage us as we see a lot of dark days ahead for a lot of people, even ourselves, to encourage us and people around us, because we're at the age, a lot of us, that we got some dark days most probably ahead of us. Most probably we got some dark days. There come a time in life and a message like this, verses like these, will not really mean a lot to you because the time will be so dark. You might be perplexed, don't understand what's going on. So dark you can't see your hand before your face. Then you might ask, oh, why God? Isaiah said, you know, those who fear God, hears the voice of the servant, but yet, why God me? The question that you might ask, but you won't get the answer. Why God did this happen to me? Why am I got to go through this? But that's the human reasoning of why. Now, we can bear most anything if we can see a reason for it. We can about endure most anything if we can understand a reason for it. But if we cannot understand the reason for it, we get very discouraged. But sometimes when we go through some things that we will have to go through, God is not going to tell us why, and we're not going to understand it. Then I ask him to sing that song, you know, Father alone, we'll know more about it. He's not going to tell us why. We're not going to understand why on a lot of things. But the why is not our question. That's not what we should be asking. Why is God's question? Ours is how. How are we going to react to these dark nights that's ahead of us, or these dark nights? How are we going to react? Not who or why, but how are we going to react when they come? Sickness, different type of sickness, pain. Doctor says you got cancer, you got heart problems, nothing we can do for you. Death in the family, sudden death, and it goes on and on. Dark nights. Isaiah 50:10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? You say, I am, I do. I fear the Lord, I honor the Lord, and I hear the voice of the servant of God. I hear. And he says, that walks in darkness. And it seemed like this just don't fit. If you're in the will of God and you're doing what God wants you to do, I mean, you're lined up with everything, and yet you're going to walk in darkness. It seemed like it just don't fit. It don't make sense. It seemed like it darkness shouldn't be here if you're going to do what the Bible says. We're in the will of God. Well, my introduction then, these two things to understand about this. The probability of darkness as a Christian, those even that walks with the Lord, you're going to have darkness. The probability of it as a child of God. Contrary to a health and wealth religion, teachers that's on television, popular opinion today, all honey and no bees, all health and success. But you read the Bible, and God's greatest saints found themselves in the darkest nights. There are many of them. Then the first thing, an experience like this is not unusual for a child of God. Read your Bible. Many, many saints of God. Job is one of them. Job 19:8, he says, he hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he have set darkness in my path. Job feared God and eschewed evil. He was a godly man, a righteous man, according to the words of God. Mind his own business. He said he was a just man. One of these days, you know, devil and God had a discussion about old Job. And old devil wanted to get to old Job. Rich man, big family, wealthy and health. He said, you take them hedges down, God, and I'll tell you what, and I get through with him, he'll curse you. God says, I'll take the hedges down. You do everything you want to with him, but you can't mess with the soul. Well, you know the story about old Job. He done some mighty, mighty work on old Job. I mean, he really worked on old Job. But Job yet trusted in the Lord. He didn't understand why I lost all of his family. You know some people lose a child, and that is terrible. I can't even imagine losing a child. Some of y'all have. He lost 10 one day. I know that y'all have wealth, and one day you don't think it can pass away. Well, Job didn't either. The next day he was broke. And you got health tonight. The next day he didn't have health. He lost it all. Why God, here I'm a man, it's after God, I mean a righteous man of God, and he didn't understand it. Why God? God wasn't wanting him to understand why, but how he could still serve and love the Lord, and he did. You read the last book of Job, he did. That's what Job wants us to understand, because it's an experience that's not unusual to God's saints. Habakkuk. Remember Habakkuk? He was deeply perplexed. God has raised up a nation, a wicked, vile nation, to come against the nation of Israel. I mean, they were so wicked. And he prayed, Habakkuk prayed, Lord, don't let this happen. And they was coming. He could see them on the march against the nation of Israel. Man, they would cut their heads off. They would kill everybody they come in. Kind of like ISIS is over today. That's what was marching up against the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. A nation like a company of people, just like ISIS over, killing men and women and children, everybody just slay them, killing them by the hundreds. old Bacchus said, I can't understand it, God. I'm so perplexed. You raised up a wicked nation to come against your own children because the nation of Israel did sin, get out of the will of God. But he couldn't understand it. Yet he knew that God was still in control. Dark night for the nation of Israel, dark night for Habakkuk, but he seen at the end that God was righteous. And then old John the Baptist, his dark night. You know what? Jesus said, a woman that was no greater than John that was born of a woman. He was a great man, according to Jesus Christ. He preached the truth of the word of God, and they put him in jail, in prison. Even old John the Baptist got the doubting. Is after him in jail, and I was preaching the word of God, people were repenting down the Jordan River. I baptized Jesus. I mean, there was people coming. What in the world is wrong? He got the wondering and doubting. He was in so darkness. I imagine it was dark in that dungeon, but he was in a darkness, spiritual darkness, and he couldn't understand. So he sends his disciples to go ask this man called Jesus, are you the one to come, or do I look for another? And Jesus told his disciples, go back and tell old John that the eyes of the blind is open, the deaf is open to the ones that can't hear, ones that can't walk is made whole again. Go tell him that everything is right on schedule. Even old John the Baptist doubted Jesus. Then old Paul that wrote that scriptures, he went through probably more than any Christian probably did. I mean, he was beat, stoned, shipwrecked. You just read how many times that Paul was in trouble. Went through some dark nights of his soul. Well, to start with this experience, it's not unusual for a child of God as we read the word of God. You were a child of God tonight. And these people I just said, they was righteous. They heard the word of God. They feared God. They do everything that you and I could do if we possibly could do it. But yet they went through dark nights also. So to start with, the experience that I have seen lately and might see even more and things come to God's people, they're just not that unusual for the people of God. And you think about those people, even the Christians there is on that mountaintop starving, waiting to be killed. The experience is just not that unusual. But also the second thing, an experience like this is not also unfruitful. Even though it seems dark, it is dark, but there's a light. If it was dark outside, if we could turn all these lights off right now, every one of them, and if it's dark outside, there would be something in here that you would see that you don't usually see. You know what that is? Three things that you would see that you don't usually see. You know what that is? Those exit signs that you don't pay notice a bit whatsoever. If it was dark in here, you would see them. Now, they hear all the time, but you wouldn't notice them unless it's pitch dark and you want to walk out of this church and you can see that sign is shining. Even though you can't see in the darkness, the light's been there all the time. It's going to get dark. They say the stars is out even in the daytime, but you can't see them. When I was young, a lot of people, the only way they had to get water at a house or an old home place where they dug a well with shovels and buckets. Now, I didn't ever go down in a well. I wasn't big enough to do much work if I had went down in a well. They'd cut trees and have limbs, you know, and they'd stick them down in the well, and they'd climb down on those tree limbs and all, and they'd dig the well. People, some up there would be up there drawing up the mud and the sand. I helped do that. I helped build curb and up, but I never went down in a well. But they always told me, you go down that well, and even in the daytime, you can look up and you can see stars in the daytime. Because darkness is all around you while you're down in that hole. When you look up, even in the daytime, you can see the stars with you at the bottom of that well. God wants us to understand that. We're surrounded by darkness, but we can look up. A great artist painted a picture. It took him many days, and he asked one of his best friends. It was a very masterpiece that he thought of. He wanted his best friend to come over to look at it, and he did. His friend came over, and he He made his friend sit in a dark room for 15 or 20 minutes. Black, pitch, dark room. He did. Then he showed him the picture. He asked him, "Why did you want me to sit in a dark room for 15 or 20 minutes? He said, "Because I want you to see the riches of these colors of this picture, and I did not want the world glare to mess up the colors." You see, one reason that me and you can't see as clear as we ought to see, because the sun's shining on most of us, and we hadn't been in a dark room, and the glare of this world keeps us seeing the color of the beauty of the blessing that God's got for us every day. We're not in the dark room, and we can't see the glory of the mercy and the blessings that God's give us every day, because the glare of this world is in our eyes so much and on our soul. You see, an experience like this is not unfruitful. As you go through a dark night, there's always beauty the next day. But then this experience also is not unending, praise the Lord. Because you see, you're not going to stay in the darkness. I look up a verse of scripture, it's always meant a lot to me. It came to pass. I told you many a time, when you got a kid in stone, you're glad when it comes to pass. I look up those scriptures. There's several hundred scriptures in the Bible that came to pass. It came to pass. There's a bunch of them. I thought maybe one or two. Oh, there's a bunch of them. It came to pass. Well, I tell you, this experience is not unending. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Psalms 112:4 says, "Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness." Psalm 30:5 said, For his anger endure but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It come to pass. God's going to flood your world with glory and with light, even if you're going to go through some darkness. And some of you already had some darkness, and some of you is going to have more darkness. You know, David said in Psalm 23:4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You see, it came to pass. I walked through, I didn't stay there. It came to pass for David in that verse of scriptures. Just because you can't see now doesn't mean that you'll never see. Someday God will open the windows of your heart if you're going through this darkness and flood you with sunshine. The probability of darkness is not unusual, it's not unfruitful, and it's not unending. But the procedure that we must go through in the time of this darkness, what do we do as we search my heart? In that psalmist, and also we find out in Isaiah 10:11, "Who is among you that fear the Lord and obey the voice of the servant that walks in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Now, when the lights goes out, there's some things we must do, the procedure we must follow when it gets dark. Hear me, it's going to come. The first thing is for us to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. It says there in that verse 10, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God." We do not live by explanation. God is not going to tell us all the whys, but by promises. Just because things don't make sense to you don't mean they won't make sense to you someday. As that song that they sung, Brother Oral, I appreciate it. "Father long, we'll understand it more by and by." When reason cannot wade through the water, faith can swim. Faith can swim. Trust and obey, For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It says, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Fear the Lord. Obey his voice. You know what he's saying? He says, don't stop. You ever heard this before? You must keep on keeping on. That's what that verse means. The first thing we need to understand is to look to the Lord. When we cannot see, look to the Lord, even if it's dark. But the second thing, we need to lean on the Lord. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon him. Stay means to lean for support. You know, we got all type of these crutches and all kind of things for our elderly now, walks around, you know, crutches and all this stuff. Hold you up, help you. God puts you in a place where, you know, a lot of times you don't have anything but him to lean on. It might be in a hospital bed sometime or another for you and for I. It might be in a nursing home somewhere. When all the family's gone, all the nurses gone, all the doctors gone, they roll you into a room and there ain't nobody there but who? Just you and God. Family can't be there. God just may put you in a place where there's nobody there but just you and him. And you must learn to lean on the Lord. Relationship is far more important than reason. Relationship is far more important than reason. Look at old Job. Old Job. Why, God? I don't know why. I'm not going to tell you, Job. It ain't none of your business. But old Job says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. That's what old Job said. And the second thing, we need to leave it with the Lord. Now, that is hard for me. I wish I had time to go further on all these, but I don't. We need to leave it with the Lord. How many times have you come to the altar and praise and Lord, take it. I mean, I'm going to leave it with you. I can't stand it no longer. I'm going to tell you, my family's tore up. And this is a problem here. I lost my job. I'm going to tell you, I'm sickness. I worried to death over this. You ain't supposed to worry. I'm gonna, Lord, get on your knees at the altar and pray, Lord. And you get up and you drag it back to your pews with you. Are we all guilty? Amen, amen, we are. We got to learn to leave it with the Lord. That's the procedure. When it's darkness, look to the Lord, lean on the Lord, but leave it with the Lord. Oh, if we could just learn that. Well, that's hard for me. But it also says in that second verse, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and the sparks that you have kindled. Now, a lot of times what we want to do is make our own fire. We want to make our own sparks. And God says when you do this, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lie down in sorrow when you try to do this. You're going to lie down in sorrow if you do. Why? Because darkness has been ordained by God that you walk in, because it's talking to a person that obeys God, that's in God's will. Remember, it's not talking about those who disobey God, out of God's will. It's talking about you and me. The saints of God listen, obeys God. But whenever you're in darkness and you try to light your own light, he says, you know what? You're going to lie down in sorrow. Because you're trying to do it yourself. Honest way darkness can come is when the light goes away. You know, I can walk into this room and I can turn on the light and the darkness can leave, but I can't walk in and turn on darkness. Only thing you can do is turn on the light and darkness has got to leave. But when those makes their own darkness, you see, this is talking about man-made light. It's deceptive and it's dangerous. And you can lay down a sorrow. Let me give you some examples. Abraham, was he a man that walked with God? If there ever been a man, yes. But you know what? He tried in darkness to make his own light, make his own fire. How did he do that? Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Getting old now. But he's old. Sarah's old. You know what kind of light he tried to do, what kind of sparks he tried to make? He didn't have no child. Made his own fire. Sarah, remember she had a handmaiden that she got down in Egypt? And they want to get together, make their own fire, help God out. And Ishmael was born. And Lord, Abraham had laid down the sorrow of many a many night the rest of his life. Because of Ishmael, Ishmaelites are still giving problem in the Middle East today. He tried to make his own light. Moses, was chosen by God to lead out the nation of Israel from Egypt. He felt the calling of God, but you see, he was in darkness, didn't understand what he should do. And he took things in his own hand and made his own spark. You know what he done? He killed the Egyptian and turned out to be a murderer. You know what God made him do? He made him lay down in sorrow for 40 years on the backside of the desert for trying to make his own fire. And then old Peter in the New Testament. God says, I'm going down to pray now. I'm going to send you watch now as I go down there. You watch and pray. I'm going down to pray. Old Peter went to sleep. Man, they come after Jesus, the high priest and all of them come after Jesus Christ. Man, old Peter grabbed his sword and cut off the high servant's ear. Jesus says, put up your sword, Peter. He healed the servant's ears. Old Peter denied him three times. And not only did he make his own fire, he was warming by the world's fire. And he denied that he even knew this man, cursed, that I even knew Jesus Christ. He tried to make his own fire. If your sun has set, it will rise again in all these people's lives. Psalms 30 and 5 again, weeping may endure but a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In Isaiah 50 and verse 4 and 5 it says, the Lord God have given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. He walketh morning by morning, he awaketh my ear to hear as it learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I walked with the Lord, and he began to show me everything that I needed. Father, just come back from a funeral of burying his dear wife. Had a little girl with him. Come back home to a lonely house. It got dark. And little girl says, Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight? He says, yes, darling, you can sleep with me tonight. He didn't want to sleep by himself either. And as the girl lay down by her dad, the lights was out, and she said, Dad, it is so dark. She says, I've never seen it this dark before. Dad, I can't even see your face. Dad, is your face towards me? He said, yes, daughter, it is. She said, I'm glad to know it. Good night, Daddy. I'll see you in the morning. She went to sleep, and the father slid out of bed, went down upon his knees. He said, my father in heaven, it's darker than I've ever seen it. My wife I just buried, the mother of my little girl. God, it's so dark, I can't see your face. But Father, I want to ask you as my little girl asked you, is your face towards me? And it seemed like the Spirit of God spoke to his heart. He said, yes, son, my face is towards you. And the father says, good night, Father. I'll see you in the morning. There's a darkness to every one of us. I hope this is an encouragement to you, those that walks with the Lord and knows Jesus. There's a darkness coming. But for us to be more understanding, but there's a darkness to people who do not know Jesus Christ, is called the eternal darkness of hell. And theirs is unending. Forever and ever and ever. Years may endure for a night, but there's a morning coming. But woe to those people that's never accepted Jesus Christ. The eternal darkness is coming. Help some soul this week, whether saved or lost, to find their way through the darkness. And remember what's on the board is come from the Word of God. from the Spirit of God the probability and the procedures that you must follow. As we bow for a moment.